This is Welcome Home Radio from the Fresno Association of Realtors on 940 ESPN.
Good morning, Central Valley. Welcome to Welcome Home Radio. Pleasure to be here this morning. This is Gerard Lozano with the Association of Realtors, Fresno Association of Realtors. And again, lucky to be here and lucky to have the host day with Don Scordino. Don, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I always enjoy this.
Well, I do too.
Because all the pressure's on you.
And, you know, I know folks might think, well, they couldn't find a guest today. Well, we've only got over 4,000 guests we could have, but, you know, it's always good to hear what you have to say because of the fact that as a host, hey, you're here to let your people do the talking.
See, I'm glad you said that because I was starting to think that, wow, he's gone through 4,000 people who told him they couldn't make it today, so mm-hmm. Then you asked me.
Yep.
Not that I felt like I was in last place or anything.
Second time around, I was getting to the tees. I thought, ooh, try it again. And thanks for answering the telephone. And again, members of the Association of Realtors, affiliates, the show is here because of you listening for the consumer. So we've got a lot of shy members, too, surprisingly.
Yeah, that surprises me.
I don't want to go on the radio. We're going to talk real estate. We're going to talk affiliate business, which could be our roofers, our pest control people, title, escrow. The list goes on. And everybody's got their own bag of tricks that they know about. And just give us a few topics, and 48 minutes later, we got a program.
You know what's kind of interesting, being the host every week, almost every week, and seeing different people come in with a different take on different topics, but usually the first 1 minute, you can see the fear in them. Here they are on 50,000-watt ESPN, and there's all this fear, and they've been worried about it all week long. And by 9:02 in the morning, it's like we're sitting there talking shop at Starbucks, and almost everyone to a T says, yeah. Oh my God, we're done. It's over because it went so fast.
That's because you've got that nice lavender candle scent in the room. You put them at ease.
You know, I didn't see any candle.
I didn't bring it, but,
there is a fly in the room, though. Can you do something about
there
that?
There is. And another little-known fact, it's live every Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that I like that.
Yes.
Yeah. It puts a little thrill into it.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Put it mildly.
Okay.
Well, today we got a lot to talk about. The National Association of Realtors, June is National Home Ownership Month. Oh, sure. So what's that mean?
That's the American dream.
Correct. And a month dedicated to that. Throughout the year, there's different things that they had like to highlight. One that comes to mind is Realtor Safety Month. Comes around in September, I believe. And, you know, National Homeownership Month for consumers out there listening. And, boy, yeah, what month isn't Homeownership Month? Well, we're going to talk about just the different aspects. There's the fly right here. We're going to talk about different aspects and what goes in. Buying, selling, I just came across an article. We'll test your knowledge. What month is the best month to buy? Oh, goodness.
Oh,
who knows? Short answer is when it's ready, when it's right for you.
Exactly. And that's one of the common problems that people make. They try to buy or sell at the same time everybody else is because they have the affirmation that, yeah. Oh, it must be the right time to buy because everybody else is. Get your affirmation from your realtor and from your family.
Mm-hmm.
And from your own intellect that you have built up by learning about the process and learning about the inventory of homes out there. That's where your affirmation should come from. Affirmation sounds bad, but it is something that everybody seeks, so mm-hmm. to some degree. Too many people try to buy or refinance or sell when everybody else is, and then it's like, well, gosh, sold my home, but I still need one.
Right. I mean, the same thing can hold true. Say you're in your home, whether you rent or you've bought that house. All the neighbors start doing things to fix up the front yard, and pretty soon, I better do something with ours. You get out in the yard, and it's kind of a trickle thing where one neighbor starts one project, and home ownership does deliver a sort of pride in your house. You don't want to be outdone by the Scordinos, the Joneses, the Wilsons, the Smiths. So on the flip side, folks around you, your friends are buying houses, or they've got an apartment, or you like to kind of feel comfortable, and sometimes you might take that first step and begin that for your pack of friends. And
you know, speaking of the ripple effect, when you fix up a home, it can really help. Back in probably let's say 16, 17 years ago, I bought a home on the fringe of the Tower District. So I think most people would have argued that that's not really the Tower District because it was off on the fringe side of it. But I bought a home right in the middle of seven homes that were lacking appeal. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say the word ugly. But there were seven homes that were not so nice. They were not well kept. And, of course, I bought it. I got it fixed up. I redashed the outside, cleaned it up, re-landscaped, and got it fixed up. It is a rental home. But the funny thing is, 6 months later, the neighbor to the south started fixing up their home and cleaning it up. And then the other one to the north, and then on and on. Today, I think anybody would drive by and say, well, this is the Tower District, because that seven-home block just looks like it belongs in the Tower District.
You fit the neighborhood.
I think, and so the point to that is anybody can be the leader in your block or in your neighborhood. Do the right thing and have pride in what you have. And I think that's what that home ownership month from National Association of Realtors is all about. Having pride of ownership. Be proud that you've achieved the American dream. Or be proud that you're dreaming the American dream. Maybe you're not there yet, but you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Let's jump into something right away. And this will be good because I don't think we've talked about this, and I think it's timely because, for instance, at the office, you're going to get the flyer, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And the microphone all at once. Stay seated, though. There's been some mosquitoes that have come around. You know, we talked about we do our monthly updates on the radio for statistics, and we did have a longer, cooler, wetter season. We had some late storms come through, and the heat's here now, so we're dealing with it. But an uptick in those pesky mosquitoes.
Is that a pun? Uptick?
No.
Oh, that was not intended?
You're just supposed to appreciate just the convo here, dog.
Okay.
So, mosquitoes, they're out. I mean, they're in our office, and we've got some places around our complex that are breeding. And the Fresno County Mosquito Abatement Team, highly suggest you folks call them. They come out. It took a week for them to get to our office. I know they do residential visits and commercial, but they really know their stuff. They identified two places around that were breeding. They're in irrigation, so we contacted our property manager, and hopefully those irrigation boxes, the solenoids will get fixed because there was standing water, and bingo, that's what it takes for the larvae. I learned way too much last week, but they've been coming in the office. And the CO2 that we breathe is what they're after. And these female mosquitoes, don't watch it, Donnie. The female mosquitoes, they bite more than once. Did you know this?
No.
You don't have mosquitoes. They're driving us nuts at the office. And the girls are getting bit time and time again on their ankles. Under the desks is where it's coming.
You know, it's good about this. I used to think you guys considered me the pest around your office.
No, never. But we're going to talk about keeping the insects out, and there's seven things. I want to see if Don can hit maybe two of the seven. But we'll talk more about the mosquito thing and what we were told, and I know they're on it, but it's kind of an issue. And that West Nile thing isn't something that we ever want, but
well, I know water moisture is the big attraction to mosquitoes. So I had a pest control guy tell me, take a walk around your room or your yard, look for standing water.
Yep, as small as a water bottle lid, they can breed inside that.
Oh,
as
wow.
little as.
Yeah.
So, everybody think about that during this next first commercial break. You're listening to Gerard and Don on Welcome Home Radio on ESPN 940. Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. Gerard Lozano this morning with the host guest, Don Scordino. Don, welcome.
Good. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here with you. It came off very, very genuine on that.
Thanks.
So, speaking of mosquitoes, I alluded to the fact that we can't deny sunrise and early sunset, or when the sun just is starting to go down, mosquitoes come out. People love to go say, our evenings are great. I prefer waking up early in the morning, go sit outside nice and quiet, watch the sunrise, but then, you know, mosquito coming around. So let's test on consumers, everybody, anybody. These are ways to help make your yard a home and home a bug-free zone. Okay? Don, should I just let you go? Try one?
Okay.
Cheating and looking at my computer over here.
Okay, my first thought is move to Texas for a short period of time, because when you come back, you're going to appreciate California again, because the mosquitoes here are not like they are in Texas.
Oh, well, I don't know that, but let's just say bugs, general pests. Okay, so don't be a pest right now, Don. I'm going to give you clue number one. This is coming straight from this article, so it must be true. It's on the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If you can read it, it's true.
If I can.
For sure.
So this is number one, and it's probably just something they thought of first that maybe works. Install patio fans. That kind of makes sense.
It does, because those are little guys with little wings, and they can't take those 10-mile-an-hour winds that the patio fans put out.
That's true.
No, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So these are the kind of things that they... You know, you wouldn't have thought of it, but it does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Most homes are built, too, with a light fixture in the patio. So installing a patio fan is not that hard of a deal.
For an electrician.
Yeah.
Would you do it? Have you done that?
This week.
You did?
Yeah.
Is
this
it
week
still hanging?
Well, I didn't do it myself, so, yeah, it's still hanging.
All right. I thought you were implying, yeah, I did it. I know people that can do things like that.
Yeah. That's my talent in life. It's not what I can do. It's who I know.
The best thing you can make at home for dinner?
Ice cream.
This is a reservation.
Oh.
Didi's told me. Okay, this was interesting. While you're thinking about what else you might be able to do to get rid of pesky mosquitoes or bugs. Don't mulch too much or too little. Now, I know just even without referring to this article, the mulch does help keep moisture in the ground, and during the summer, maybe it helps with the water and helps the plants with the nutrients and such, but you got like an inch and a half or 2 inches of mulch. And, of course, there's different kinds and different thicknesses, but the idea, I guess, is not to overdo it, causing too much moisture to be kept in there, because obviously, bingo, moisture is kind of bad around the home. Mm-hmm. We've talked about, come springtime, clean out your gutters. You don't want standing water anywhere around the home. As in the summertime, your sprinklers come on, that water needs a chance to evaporate.
It's a good point. So I think everything's going to relate to moisture. Even the mulch thing.
Yeah.
Because mulch retains moisture in the ground, and so too much of it is going to add to the problem of mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. And then when you go out to your local store for plants, there's plants that those people out there in the garden areas of the different stores around town know what they're talking about. But citronella obviously gets rid of mosquitoes outside. Lavender plants, moths, fleas, flies, and mosquitoes, supposedly they deter catnip.
Well, I still want to know what we're going to do about that fly that's flying here in this room.
Okay, we're going to get him. Pay attention. Focus with me.
It's hard to focus with that guy.
It's not coming around here.
Okay.
Did you shower today?
Yeah. So, yeah, and I guess if you go to your gardener, something like Gazebo Gardens, mm-hmm. I know they're really helpful over there. They even do a show down here at One Putt Broadcasting called Valley Grown.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be able to tell you.
I wouldn't dare email this to Scott. Gerard, I got it.
Yeah.
I know. That's what we do.
That'd be like somebody emailing me how to sell real estate off some article on the Internet.
Okay. That's true. Mm-hmm. This is one that I could discount, and I don't want this around the home. But build a bat house.
Bath house or bat house?
B-A-T.
B-A-T.
Bat house. It says if you live in an area where bats are local, you're lucky you. Not really, but they do control pests, and I guess they do. But I wouldn't want a bat flying around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
see, I thought you were talking about where you store your Louisville Slugger.
Under the bed. But, you know, this is House Logic, which consumers can look at. It's done through the National Association of Realtors, and there's all kinds of tips on this website. But, again, it's a website. Does this apply? That's why we talk about this radio show being local. We want to have our local guests on because maybe we don't have bats in the Central Valley. Maybe up in the mountains we do, but
around a lot of water, you will find bats. So when I've sold homes that are near the river or near a lake, bats are an issue that you have to look out for.
An issue, not a good thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Buying or selling, Don, what's your preferred business method? Buying or selling, buyers or sellers?
I've been fortunate my whole career where I've kind of been 50-50 on helping people buy homes or helping people sell homes.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that should be a question you might want to build into your weekly repertoire of questions. Because I was going to say, before you answer, I was going to say, and don't say 50-50. But you did.
I missed.
You missed. That was very slow, by the way. He looked over at me and said he's going to try to hit me right now. Look. But really, 50-50.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, some years 60-40, next year 40-60.
All right.
And there is an advantage to that because I've learned from I feel like I can help sellers because I know how buyers think.
True.
And vice versa.
Good. So sellers, some of the steps of sellers selling your first home is way harder than maybe purchasing your first home to me. I don't do your business, but just thinking about it. Okay, so we're going to get into buyers in the next section or two, but sellers, so you think about all the work you did to purchase that first home, sellers. You love that home. Maybe it's 20 years now. You've been in that home, and you're going to sell. That's a big decision to make.
You know, emotion is a big part of buying and selling. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think so much with selling because it's like, okay, now that we bought our first home and we're selling it and we're going to move to another one, you're probably buying again. But it is emotional because you think, gosh, that's where the kids used to run around, or maybe you poured some concrete
and
put
a good one.
Scratch your kids' names into it, or their footprint or handprint.
Mm-hmm.
So there's emotion. And so here's advice I would give a buyer. When you're buying, don't try to negotiate by tearing down the seller's home. You know, here's why we're offering so little. We got to come in here and redo the whole thing, bring it up to date. You know, got to get rid of the popcorn and got to paint everything. I try to tell my buyers, don't tell the seller that you're going to rip everything out and start over. Because
good. Yeah.
That hurts them.
I would agree. How often does this happen? I know what my wife loves to watch HGTV, and I usually don't pay attention much to it. I'm playing a video game on the iPad or whatever. But when you take your buyers to the home, oh, we're not going to look at this house. And you've gone through making your appointment with the seller's agent. Sellers know, and I'm sure they're prepared to show the home. Don's going to bring his buyers over, and they're going to look at the house. And is there ever a time in real life you guys pull up to the home and they, ooh, Don, let's pass on this? Your answer.
That does happen.
Yeah.
Usually what I tell the people before we get to that problem is, look, we may pull up to a home and you say as soon as we pull up that, nah, let's keep going. I don't like this. Do me a favor, please. I've set an appointment with these people.
Yep.
We don't have to stay long, but let's give it a cursory look. And if for nothing else, you're going to learn the bad ones too. If it truly is not worth looking at, but it's part of the market,
mm-hmm.
that's part of the information you know, so that when you find a good one, you're going to appreciate it because you've seen the bad ones.
Yes. But it may
that
not
works
be.
Most of the time.
Yeah, I was being a little more kind, whether or not good, bad. But the buyers certainly have they get a feeling outside, right, on the street. Because everybody nowadays, there's probably never a time where the buyer doesn't see the house with the internet and on this and that side. And, you know, it's everywhere. You go to Google Maps and see everything for that. But you could virtually take a drive down the street before you even go see it. Chances are, you already know the layout, the tree that's there, the power lines are, you know, they're getting less and less, but just different areas. The fire hydrant that may be in front of the home that you didn't see well in the picture, but more than maybe not liking it visually because it may look, we're going to do a lot of rehab or whatever. The feeling that they get when they get out of the car and maybe are in the car and thinking, no, it doesn't feel right, versus it's not a home they like.
Mm-hmm. So
more of a gut feeling.
Yeah. This is, you're bringing out a really good point. I mean, now your typical listing has 20 to 40 different pictures on there, but do remember those pictures are an advertisement, not a disclosure. I recently showed one where, God, it was beautiful. Big yard, big side yard, and that. Now, to me, with the experience I have, when I saw that big side yard and I saw the address the way it was, it made me think there were power lines.
Hmm.
No power lines in the pictures whatsoever, which is fine because pictures are advertisements. They're not disclosures. That ends up being why the buyer didn't buy the house, is because of the power lines.
Oh, interesting. Well,
and it wasn't, this says a lot, it wasn't so much the power lines. He was buying his first home. He was afraid of what his family was going to say about that home with the power lines. Because he says, you know, I like the side yard more because of the power lines, but it would never pass his family.
Smart.
So third-party advice is a big thing in buying a home.
Okay, so more on the selling side. They're obviously, let's stick with the person that's been there for over 15 years. When they purchased that home, rates were different most likely. Obviously, the sales history around the neighborhood has probably gone up. It's gone down. It's gone up, down and up maybe in 15 years. Three times or so. But does that part really matter? Because it is, at some point it's kind of all relative. Say you're buying at a down market. Okay. Well, they're selling in a down, but that shouldn't make folks be so cautious where we're going to wait until the market starts a little uptick.
Well, you got to remember the relationship between interest rates, affordability, and home prices. So there are some people that say, oh, I'm going to sell my home now while the market's up. And ironically, rates are down. I think there's a relationship there. Because the affordability is so much more. But if they wait too long, and so that, let's say they sell and then they rent for a couple of years and then they go to buy, okay, maybe prices did come down because the interest rates went up, so your affordability is still higher, lower.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying a home to live in it, then buy it for that reason. And at that time, when it's the best personal time. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Just say, okay, blue light special between the months of March through July of 2019, that's the time to go buy. No, and if you look at it from the seller side, personal things come up. Events in life come up that say, now's the time to sell, whether it be December or springtime, it doesn't matter. It's time to sell.
Mm-hmm. And buying the home for the right reason, when you got into it 18 years ago, you use that particular realtor. Comes time to sell, I'm going to assume that they're going to call the person that helped you buy that home, sell that home. Generally speaking, not you personally, I won't go there, but generally speaking, those relationships last, yes?
Absolutely they do.
And before you give a 20-minute answer, I felt a tap on my shoulder, and it wasn't the fly. We need to take our next commercial break. So we're going to ask that question of Don Scordino.
You know, part of hosting the show, Gerard, is clock management.
Well, I'm looking outside. It's beautiful today. There's beauty behind me as well, but you're listening to Welcome Home Radio on ESPN 940. Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. Good morning. I'm just checking my phone. Not that I'm ready to leave, Don. It's going to be 94 today.
It's a nice day.
It's beautiful. I woke up about 4:15 this morning, got up, opened up all the windows, turned all the fans on, got the house down to 73 degrees.
Whole house fan. Those are good.
I wish I could get a whole house fan.
Oh.
They said we couldn't put it in. There's no room in the attic. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I want to get one. So your whole house fan, let's get off topic for a second. I know the next question coming up. Talk about whole house fans. Yes or no?
I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. You only run them 10 minutes or so in the mornings or on a cool evening. You can run it. It cools off the attic, and that makes it easier for your air conditioner to cool off the inside of the house, because your attic may only be at 110 degrees rather than 140 degrees.
Yeah. You run it in the, I assume you have one at your home? Or used to?
But well, I'm soon going to have it in the new house.
So I get the morning. Do you do it? Would you put it on at night? I've never had one. I want to get one. Somebody tell me, yes, you can put one in. I want it to work efficiently, but
Boy, I would think you only need 12 inches of clearance from your ceiling into the attic, and I'll bet you have that.
Okay. Well, I know how to do one thing. Make another phone call and find somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a number of years, but so I've heard, and somebody else told me, gave me their opinion. Sure, I take everybody's opinion. Oh, no, no whole house fan. That, why do you want to pull in the dust into your home?
Mm-hmm.
I can understand the...
Why do you want to pay another $100 a month on your electric bill?
Well, if it truly pollutes my home and makes it more dusty, I'll keep it closed up and filtered.
Okay. But, well, put a little more mulch outside so you're not pulling in so much dust.
Okay. All right, that's easy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's easy.
But not too much and not too little, otherwise you're going to bring in mosquitoes, which goes now into make sure your screens don't have holes in them.
Oh,
so
no.
The mosquitoes come. Speaking of pests and flies,
okay.
We got to hand it to the brains of the operation here today.
Yep.
Bobby Thistle, he's our board operator, and he sees that I'm being frustrated by this fly that's flying around. He came and opened the door. It flew out and closed the door back. It's like, why didn't I think of that?
You sell real estate.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
Leave it to logical people to do logical things. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Hey, the other
thing is, there's only one pest left in here.
Yep. Our multiple listing service chair, George Meese, it's his birthday today.
Ah. Happy birthday, but, Mr. Meese.
Yeah, and he's not quite as old as what the temperature is going to be today.
Jeez, tough. Can we get back to that question?
Sure.
Selling your home. Interview and select an agent. Okay, so I've been in my house for 18 years. We're going to sell. The first name I'm assuming that would pop into my head is the person that we purchased the home with.
Yeah. I see that a lot. When I'm doing comps and I look into the history of a home, I notice that a lot, that they list their home with the person that they bought it from years earlier. And you know, I've never done statistics on it, but I will say that I get maybe surprised when I see it somebody different.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, it happens most of the time.
And let's just pat our Fresno Association of Realtor members on the back by saying they keep in touch with their clients. You may get a card every year for this anniversary, your birthday, your wife's anniversary, your husband's anniversary, birthday. I mean, that's part of the communication between realtor, client.
I'm going to say,
I hope.
Yeah, I'm going to say the cards help, but if you didn't build trust in the beginning, then the cards mean nothing.
Yeah, and I should have said that.
Yeah,
you develop a tight bond during purchase of a home, and
you know,
hopefully that lasts.
Yeah, I tell the new people coming into the business that this is a really, really hard job, but it's a fantastic career because of the relationships. And sometimes I don't see people for 8, 9, 10 years, and then they call the list, and it's like we never missed a beat.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not the best guy in the world about sending out happy anniversary cards and happy birthday
cards.
It's
an example.
Okay.
You know, different people do different things.
Yeah. But
put it in your phone.
It's a great one.
Put it in your phone. It reminds you.
Well, you might get
I'll
reminded.
I'll show you how to do it.
You still got to do it, though.
Okay, we're not even going to get into preparing your home for sale. I think everybody, it seems like nowadays everybody knows, sees TV, looks on the internet, ideas. It's interesting, once you see a neighbor throw mulch in their front yard, I mean, we do the same thing, walk in the neighborhood. Oh, they must be moving soon. Not often, but sometimes, yeah, new mulch equals thinking about selling. That's kind of one of the first steps, maybe. You start trimming shrubs back and making it look a little different.
Curb appeal is very important. That's Kodak spot number one.
Yeah. Google Maps can't do that every time. That's why looking on the internet, you need a personal touch. That picture may be 3 years old.
It could be.
My home has a palm tree that's been gone for a number of years, and it's still there in the photo. Marketing your home, that's your job, realtor, seller.
Yeah, and that's actually teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have teamwork between the agent and the seller. I remember one where I was coaching the people as far as taking things out of the home to make it look more spacious. They were bringing things in for staging,
And
it ended up, it It was too cluttered.
Ah. It seems to me, and I don't, you're going to answer, I'll let you. Open houses, it's almost like you're out running errands on the weekend, you're going here or there. Open houses are just as popular. Maybe not so, but it makes your sellers feel good. Or do some agents prefer, maybe they like to do open houses, but are open houses what they once were? I remember 15 years ago, it sure seemed like, man, open houses were the thing. Because now, before you answer, now it's like on a Wednesday, mid-afternoon, you know, with the officers, the MO Fresno MLS and our agents, they do open houses for broker open houses and such. Evening, like a Wednesday or a Thursday, it's not always traditionally on a Sunday from 1 to 4. I don't know who made that time up, but that's prime football. Yeah. Hours, but usually Sunday from 1 to 4 is an open house. Saturday, 10 to 3. What's your thought on open houses? And sellers, I'm assuming, want them, number one, and you do as they please and work together.
Open houses are bigger today than they were 6-7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And
just the opposite of what I just said. So that's good.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. But there's a phenomena that's happening. So 6-7 years ago, most of the listings were foreclosures,
mm-hmm.
and vacant, broken windows. Who wanted to sit there for 3 hours? Most of your buyers were investors. So it wasn't conducive to that. Today, there's a lot more open houses happening. Buyers are seeing things on the internet with the pictures, and they just want to take a quick run through to verify or affirm that it is what it is. But still, overwhelmingly, the greatest amount of active real buyers are going through the home with their agent.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it, but you can do an open house and have 25 people come through, and not one of them is probably going to buy a home in the next month.
Because 24 of them are the neighbors around your home.
Yeah. Or
not always, but you know.
Yeah. And that used to be the case 15 years ago. Today, it is people who are formulating ideas.
Mm.
So they're maybe going to buy in 6 months to a year. They want to formulate ideas. Mm-hmm. They don't want to bother an agent yet because they know they're really just looking. They're not serious. But when they're serious, they hook up with a realtor who can take them to different homes, help counsel them on the pros and the cons of each home.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. Gotcha. Good answer. And somebody else was talking to me, so I was paying attention. When I'm listening, you can continue talking.
Okay.
You stopped.
See, I'm not used to being a guest. I'm used to, you know, getting that tap on the shoulder.
No. I can listen. You continue.
Okay.
Got it. I've got a few more steps we're going to go through, but we're going to take our almost next to last break now. Now seems about right. Go, folks, go get your cup of coffee. Don's been entertaining you for the past 45 minutes. We got another 15 or so to go. You're listening to Welcome Home Radio on ESPN 940. Don.
So when you hear the music come on, that means you're on, Gerard.
That means I'm listening to it. I like it.
What?
I like listening to the music. Less of Don.
Okay.
Less me.
Hey, speaking of that, I got a text message from mm-hmm. a listener saying he's surprised that you and I haven't mentioned the Dodgers and Giants yet, and the Dodgers being the first team to 50 wins.
So?
Actually, now it's 52 wins. So
have we gotten to 50 losses yet? See how I could be fun with our team.
Yeah. All right.
We already talked about this. Take another first place West Coast title. Go ahead.
All right. We're here to talk real estate
and then
today.
Take second in the World Series again. All right. Let's get back to real estate.
Although I did ask a question earlier this morning of you, and I'm starting to ponder the thought.
What?
Is it better to be in the run 7 years in a row?
Bobby, I need help. Actually, I don't need help. But it's
or to be totally bad.
Go ahead.
For so long, except have 3 out of 5 years where you're on top.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with winning, personally.
<All right. laughs>
I think Bobby was pretty clear, too.
Yeah.
I just have to.
I am outnumbered here today.
I have to make the decision. What championship sweatshirt do I want to wear in the fall?
I do, too, except mine says NLCS.
I know. Okay, back to real estate, people.
But I do have 7 of them.
Good. Okay, be ready. You got your home. You're most likely use the same agent that you purchased your house with. People work, right? So when you leave the house in the morning, have it ready to go. You never know, honestly, you never know when somebody's going to want to see the home or take a second look. And
yep.
that's tough because, you know, we just went through a little remodel at the house, and I don't like people in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who does?
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, but you get through it. But it is uncomfortable selling your home, too, and allowing people to be in your home without you there.
That's a weird feeling.
But it's just
it's a weird feeling, but it's an absolute necessity.
Yeah.
And as a seller, sometimes you think, oh, my gosh, I don't want anybody showing the house today because I had to leave for work.
Yeah.
Or drop the kids off early, and I didn't have a chance
to clean
it up.
We cooked sauerkraut last night, and it still smells like sauerkraut in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything.
Things like that. But but you got to go, a seller has to go with the buyer's schedule because that buyer might just be from out of town, and they're only here today.
Yeah.
They're not going to be here tomorrow. So you got to be as flexible as possible. What I tell my sellers when they get that call saying, I'd like to show your home between 3 and 5 today, the only thing to say is, sure, come on out, and if we're not home, use the lockbox.
Yeah.
After you hang up, then panic.
Right.
You know, don't panic to the realtor setting it up. I've had times where I've had sellers who have insisted on certain times, and I've ended up having to drive back and forth across town. So here I'm trying to show 4 homes and put them in logical order.
Right.
But if, you know, one seller has to be before 2 and the other has to be after 3 and they're next door to one another, that makes it more difficult and greater chance that one of them gets dropped.
Yeah. You got preparing your home, market the home. Be ready to show. Entertain offers. I've heard from television on some shows, overhearing the TV when it's on, overhearing realtors talk in the office. I'll make the statement, the first offer is the best offer. Waiting for an answer
to carry
the conversation.
I never have liked that one because there's no logic. And I know you hear that on TV, but, mm-hmm. you know, taking real estate advice from actors is like taking political advice from actors. What's their field of expertise?
Yeah.
It's analyze each and every offer. And I know of one a few years ago. The first offer came in extremely low, but it was cash. It was.
Mm-hmm.
It had good terms. It was quick. So the 3 elements of an offer are price, time, and terms. So 2 of them were really good. The price was really, really bad. We counteroffered, and the buyer said, okay. So
cool.
Yeah. So.
So negotiate.
Analyze. Mm-hmm. Come up with a strategy. And try to make it logical, not so emotional. Sometimes it's hard to like a buyer that lowballs your house.
You're offended.
Yeah. But it's like my uncle Don Corleone says, it's business. It's not personal.
Yeah. Yeah. Be nice. So you negotiate, then you're going to get to that point of putting it in escrow, yeah. Talk about that time period where inspections come in.
Inspections are really, really important because the contracts say that the buyer, well, the transaction is, it's an as-is transaction. You're buying it as-is. However, you get the first so many days, so many because it's usually between 10 to 17 days, to do inspections so you know what as-is is.
Yeah.
That's important. Can you buy a house that, maybe there was an addition without a permit. Well, yeah, and it happens all the time, but you need to know that.
So inform those buyers out there that don't know that process. You agree to a price, then inspect?
Yeah.
Folks that haven't done this before.
Right, because what if, especially in a fast-moving market where average time on the market is under 30 days,
yep.
What if you contract with a home inspector, they go out there, and by the time you get the inspection back, somebody else bought the home.
Yeah.
That's why you go into contract first, and then you have that right. Now, what sellers can do up front is get their own inspections to offer to the buyer. You see that a lot in the Central Valley with a roof and a pest certification.
Yeah.
Maybe not a home inspection. Up in the Bay Area where the market moves so fast and they have 50 million offers on one home.
That's crazy.
They get all the inspections up there, and buyers usually buy without contingency.
Ouch.
Yeah. Crazy market.
It is. Be thankful we're here. Don, I'm thankful you were here. Aren't you glad you were here?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you were the host today because there was no pressure on me other than some of your questions.
See, good. We only talked about one side that show.
Mm-hmm.
Sellers, for the most part. Buyers, we're going to come back to you. Contact your a local realtor. There's plenty to choose from. Interview. I know a whole other show we could have done. Don, you have a good weekend, buddy.
Why, thank you.
Everybody out there, thanks for listening. Don't forget, podcasts are available. Go back, your favorite podcast channel, Welcome Home Radio, download it, subscribe, and listen to us all week. Thanks for listening. You've been great, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.